Today I'd like to explore two passages from the Apostle Paul's writings. If you have your Bible, please turn to the book of Ephesians. The first one is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And as Paul is writing this, he's writing this in the context of family relationships. Husbands and wives, children and parents, and then also parents to children. So, Ephesians 6, 4, and maybe you're familiar with this verse. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The second verse I'd like to look at is similar. Paul also wrote it. It's in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Now, these are not complicated verses. These aren't complicated instructions. They're simple and straightforward. And biblical scholars, as I was doing some research on these two particular verses, they say that Paul is addressing fathers, but it's likely that he also has in mind the mothers, parents, because the term that he uses for fathers is also seen in some other passages as being parents. So ladies, you're not officially off the hook this morning, even though this is a Father's Day message. And as we look at, as we consider these two verses, I'd like to throw some E words in there for us to move things along. And the first E word is exasperate. Of course, that's something that we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to exasperate our children. And what does it mean? It's not a term I generally use. But exasperate, as you can see there, aggravate, agitate, bug, disturb, get under one's skin, infuriate, make waves, tee off, wind up, work up. Those are all terms for exasperate. The second E word is embitter. Aggravate, alienate, annoy, bother, irritate, sour, worsen. Maybe some of you are thinking, well, I would never do that. I would never exasperate or embitter my children. But if you're a human and you come in contact with other humans, whether they be adults or kids, we're prone to do this from time to time. It's part of our sin nature. And the Lord says that this is not His will for our lives, especially as fathers in relationship with our children. How do we exasperate and embitter them? Well, we already had our testimony time this morning, so instead of passing the mic around, I thought I'd just give you an example from the Stiver household. Recently, just this week, Graham has been persistent about taking some of the landscaping rocks and turning them into a fire pit in our backyard. And so I think it was Monday evening, he was quite persistent. Daddy, can we do this tonight? Can we do this tonight? And you know, I didn't really want to do this yet. Let's wait till the weekend. But he was pretty persistent. And as his persistence increased, my resolve to say no increased, and it was exasperating for me, let's put it that way, in his requests. And because I really didn't want to do that, I had important things to do, like watch Jeopardy and other things like that. It was just, I mean, let's make sure our priorities are straight. Well, concurrent with Graham's persistence to ask me about doing this fire pit, Megan had stuck her head in the living room and said, "Hey, honey, by the way, I need the boys, all of them, to get to bed early tonight." And I admit, I was a bit distracted. I don't know that I really heard her say that. And that probably never happens at your house, men, so when your wife talks to you. But so, yes, you just don't admit it. So So she had made that statement, apparently, I'm told, and then Graham's persistence. And so finally, I was frustrated, and I said, Graham, I'll tell you what. If you can find the TV remote that's been missing, that I cannot find, I have searched all over 46815, and I cannot find it. If you can find it, we'll build a fire pit tonight. Well, okay. I thought I was a pretty safe bet. 5 minutes later, Graham comes dancing in with the TV remote. And so I knew in that moment, okay, well, I put my word out there. We're building a fire pit tonight. Turn the power off. So Graham then goes and broadcasts this great news to my wife, which started another kind of fire pit that I didn't anticipate. And she said, didn't you hear what I said? And then I realized, yes, I guess sort of I did. And then I realized in that moment, there were two different things going on here, and I wasn't going to be able to deliver on both of them. How was I going to keep my promise to Graham and uphold the authority of my wife? And so the fire pit didn't happen. There were many tears as I had to break that promise, and there was some exasperation and embitterment, I'm sure, in Graham's heart for me. All because, really, I wasn't paying attention to what was going on. Thankfully, the evening ended with forgiveness on all parties, but it wasn't pretty, let's put it that way. It wasn't pretty how we got there. And what if I, as our father, made a regular habit of making promises and breaking promises with my children? What would the result be? Well, no doubt it would be exasperation and embitterment on the part of my children. Two paths that the Lord specifically warns me not to travel down. How do we exasperate those who look up to us as a father, especially children? Well, I think it's when we have a consistently harsh attitude. We all get bent out of shape from time to time, but there are some fathers who are harsh all the time. And I don't think that's what God has for us. It's when we are overly strict, requiring obedience in things that really don't matter at all. I've said it many times, yeah, you'll do it because I said so. And while that is a good reason, you as parents understand that, I need to pick my battles and make sure that I'm not being overly strict. Or I create this exasperation, this embitterment, when I'm constantly finding fault, never allowing success on the part of the other person, always saying, well, that's great, but, you know, did you ever think about this? Or you should have done this? Or, yeah, one goal is great, but, you know, it really would have been great if you had scored two goals. That does nothing but create exasperation and embitterment. Parenting a family is not a democracy. Not everybody gets a vote all the time. But it's not a dictatorship either. Parental authority was instituted by God, and it is to be carried out with an understanding of submission to the lordship and the leadership of Jesus Christ. He is the head of our family. And so if my usual calling cards are criticism and being overly strict, being irritable, inconsistent, showing favoritism, the results will be exasperation and embitterment. And there are times when I forget that my kids are 3, 5, 8, and 10. I believe they should behave like adults. But what I forget is that takes a long time to master. After 38 years of trying it myself, there's still times when I act like a child. We reap what we sow, and so if we sow seeds of exasperation and embitterment in those we are parenting, then we'll reap a harvest of discouragement and despair. And that is not what God intended for families. Yes, at times firm discipline may be necessary, but it always must be done with the right attitude, with the right spirit. We don't want to create a feeling that's impossible to please us. Otherwise, the child will lose heart and simply give up. And then, yes, the child will obey, but it will be out of a spirit of hopelessness rather than love. And I don't think that's what God had intended. So those are the first two E's. The second two E's are educate and encourage. Of course, these are two actions that Paul is instructing us as fathers to do. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And the opposite of discourage is to encourage. What do these words mean? Well, educate. We coach, we cultivate, we develop, we discipline. We nurture, we school, we show them the ropes, we train them, we tutor, we warn and admonish. That's what we as fathers do. We are also to encourage, to boost, to cheer up, console, energize, exhilarate, hearten, praise, reassure, spur, and strengthen our children or those who are looking up to us as fathers. So for those of us who are fathering someone, biologically or not, our charge is to educate and encourage. In the Old Testament, the people were instructed to carry it out this way. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What does it look like when we educate and encourage our children? Training and instructing and educating and encouraging is a full-time endeavor. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes strategy. It takes sacrifice, and it takes commitment. It never stops. We are constantly influencing those who look up to us, especially those who are in their formative years of childhood. Children are always learning from us. They're always being influenced by us. Everything we say and do leaves some kind of impression on their young character. We are their books, and they study us with enthusiastic eyes, and they reproduce us with ridiculous accuracy. How many times have you heard someone say, "You act just like your father"? And sometimes it's said in love because it's something good that has happened, and sometimes it's said in a not so good way. Either way, those following in our footsteps are learning how to live based on our habits and our choices. Our kids know whether our pursuits are temporary or eternal. They know what our values are. As fathers, we can educate and encourage our children by pointing them to Jesus Christ. One of the ways they will learn about him is through our personal relationship with Jesus. We have the opportunity to shape the perception of who Jesus Christ is and how important he is in our daily lives. I can't make my kids believe in him, but I can do as much as I can within my power to show him, to show my kids who Jesus is to me. As fathers, we can educate and encourage our children by pointing them to the Word of God. God's Word must be the basis, the foundation, the rule, and the guide for everything in our lives. One of the ways our children will learn about God's Word is through our personal involvement with the Scriptures. We have the opportunity to mold their understanding of the Word of God and how important it is in our daily lives. And as fathers, we can educate and encourage our children by praying for our kids. One of the ways they will learn about prayer is through our own prayer life. We have the opportunity to help form their opinions on the value and place of prayer based on how important it is in our daily lives. Pursuing Christ, being transformed by His Word, and spending time in prayer are a solid foundation in which to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so, we as dads, or we as those who are fathering someone, will we always have the answers, especially to the spiritual questions? No, of course not. But that doesn't mean that we should avoid this area of instruction and lifting up our kids. We need to ask questions despite our own fears of exposing our weaknesses and our failures and our unanswered questions. A while back, my second son, Isaiah, he had deliberately disobeyed me in some way at home. I don't even remember what it was. But the punishment at our house was, at that time, standing in the corner. I used to hate it when my parents would make me stand in the corner. It seemed like hours. Sure, it was only minutes, but I hated that. I'd much rather get a spanking from my mother, because it never hurt. But when they made me stand in the corner, I hated that. Well, anyway, Isaiah had been banished to the corner, and in our house, in the early year, at least so far, depending on their age, however old they are, that's how many minutes you've got to stand in the corner. So I think he was age 6 at the time. He was supposed to stand in the corner for 6 minutes. The problem was that I was a bit distracted at the moment, and I forgot to set the timer. I wasn't watching Jeopardy. I don't remember what I was doing. But because Isaiah is generally quiet and reserved, he willingly stood in the corner without calling my name. Like some of the other kids, every minute, you know, how much longer? How much longer? Isaiah is just quiet. He just stands. He takes it. 30 minutes later, Megan comes in. She says, "Honey, do you know Isaiah is still standing in the corner and he's crying?" I felt like such a bad dad. I didn't know what to say. "I'm sorry, just didn't cut it with a 6-year-old. So, I was left with no other choice than to allow him to put me in the corner for 30 minutes. And so I did, and it seemed like hours. But it was a unique teaching moment for him and for me. One in which I had to humble myself as the dad and admit my own failure. Had I been stubborn and like a dictator, this scenario had the potential to result in my son being exasperated and embittered. And thankfully, it ended with forgiveness all the way around. Instead of exasperating and embittering, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We reap what we sow. If we sow seeds of education and encouragement in those we are parenting, will reap a harvest of righteousness in God's perfect timing. The final set of E's for this morning are two words: examine and empowered. Now, these two words aren't in the passage this morning, but when you consider the teaching of the rest of the New Testament, We find that as believers, we're challenged to examine our own lives and ask for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that we can live like Jesus. When we examine our lives, we'll find that those habits and patterns that aren't pleasing to the Lord. And instead of striving to do better, we simply need to ask Jesus to fill us with His Spirit. Rather than striving for our own way of doing things, we need to yield and be empowered by the Spirit. When we do this, we don't have to fear condemnation. That's not the way Jesus works. He doesn't condemn us. In the life of a believer, the Holy Spirit indwells. He guides. He teaches. He empowers. And our goal is not to try harder to be a better parent. The goal is to yield and invite the Spirit's influence, and He will make us a more Christ-like parent. When we yield, the Spirit will point us to Jesus. And then based on what Jesus asks us to do, then we should move. When we as fathers are Spirit-filled, moment by moment, decision by decision, our movements won't result in exasperation and embitterment of our children. Our movements will nurture, instruct, and invoke courage, bearing the fruits of self-control, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, patience, peace, joy, and love. Our homes will be a place of life and love rather than a place of do's and don'ts. If we sow the seeds of an examined life and the seeds of seeking the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, then we'll reap a harvest of Christ-likeness in our homes. And it will impact generations to come. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. And it's true that the 12 men that I referenced at the beginning of my message were significant in my life. These men, whether they realized it or not, were helping me paint a picture of my Heavenly Father. And as I spent time at various seasons in my life with each of these artists, each one added more strokes to the canvas, revealing a more accurate picture of my Lord. However, the one person who added the most to the picture, having had the most impact in my life, is my own dad. He loves his wife and his kids and his grandkids. He isn't perfect, and at times he has exasperated and embittered us. But his legacy will be one of educating and encouraging us, as well as hundreds of other people that he's impacted over the years. He consistently lifted me up. Sometimes he lifted me emotionally, sometimes he lifted me spiritually, and sometimes he lifted me literally. When I was around the age of Graham and Bryson, I can't remember exactly, but I remember we were having a party, I think it was a fall kickoff party at church. And there was a pinata involved. And whoever made the pinata made it a bit too strong because everybody was taking whacks at it and there was no candy breaking out. I mean, it was too strong. So after a while, my dad decided he was going to take a swing. And when he did, he hit it so hard that, yes, it did crack open and break open a little bit for a little of the candy to break out. But in the process, he hit it so hard that it swung and landed on top of the church about 16 feet up in the air. There was a flat roof on the church, and it was up there. And so all of us kids are like, I mean, it was not a good moment. And there, I don't remember exactly, it wasn't like a rope that we could grab or something, and nobody was tall enough to reach it, so we were stuck. But my dad, he's a MacGyver, right? He breaks something, he's gonna fix it. So he went and got the church ladder, which happened to only be about a 6-footer. And this thing was about 16 feet in the air. So 6 feet plus my dad's frame of about 6'3" gets you to 12'3". And then he called my name. You do the math, that gets you to about 16 feet. Well, I was afraid of heights. And this particular ladder of faith didn't really boost my confidence. But when he said, "Lance, trust me, I've got you. I won't let you fall." Because of the first 10 years of my life in which he trained and encouraged me to trust him, okay, Dad. So I climbed the ladder, and I climbed my dad, and I stood on his shoulders to reach Snickers. And I was standing on the foundation of my father, and it was enough to reach something that I would have never, ever thought to be possible. And I hope to be able to be the same foundation for my kids, just without the ladder and the pinata. Just leave that behind. And as a tribute to all the men who have fathered me over the years, past, present, and future, to those men who have lifted me up and allowed me to stand on their shoulders to reach things that I never thought were possible, and to all the men who find themselves, whether they realize it or not, fulfilling the role of a father or a grandfather or a great-grandfather, I'd like to close our time together this morning with a song by one of my favorite artists. His name's Andrew Peterson. And he wrote a song called Family Man.
I am a family man, traded in my Mustang for a minivan. This is not what I was headed for when I began. This was not my plan. I am a family man. But everything I had to lose came back a thousand times. Fill me up with love, fill me up with love, and you help me stand, 'cause I am a family man. And life is good, something I always knew, but I just never understood. Well, if you'd asked me then, you know I'd say I never would settle down in a neighborhood I never thought I could. But I don't remember me stand. So come on with the thunderclouds, let the the cold winds rail against us, let the rain come down. We can build a roof above us with the love we found, and we can stand our ground. So let the rain come down, 'cause love binds up what breaks in two. So keep my heart so close to you. I'll fill you up with love, fill you up with love, and I'll help you stand, 'cause I am a family man. Saving my vacation time for Disneyland. This is not what I was headed for when I began. This was not my plan. It's so much better than. It's so much better. I am a family man.
Let's pray. Father, as we look through the pages of Scripture, we see numerous descriptions and titles, names for God. Yet at the very core of who we are, your Holy Spirit calls out Abba, Father. You could have demanded that we address you as King. Yet when Jesus taught us to pray, he told us to address you as our Heavenly Father. And when we've strayed and we've gone off to a far country, when we want to come back home to find forgiveness and grace, the Scriptures paint a picture of you as standing on the porch scanning the horizon, watching for us to return. And when you see us, you don't wait on us to come. You don't stand there as the lawgiver or the wise man who says, "See, I told you so. I told you that would happen." No, the Scriptures say that you run to us with arms wide open, with compassion and grace and mercy. And so, Father, I humbly come before you this morning and I pray that you would fill the fathers with your Spirit, that we might walk as you walk. That when difficulties come, when our kids are exasperating to us, Lord, help us return with love and forgiveness, patience and peace, instruction and encouragement. Lord, I love the way you father us. Happy Father's Day, Lord. I pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.